This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We continue our conversation now about the events in Arizona with Ted Rawl, award-winning, best-selling author, cartoonist. His website, of course, is rawl.com, R-A-L-L. Ted, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Ted, you were one of the first people I thought of when I saw this news about what had happened at this political event, and that was because of a conversation that you and I had a few weeks ago when you said that people are already in the streets with guns. They're taking them to political events, and it's just a matter of time before we see violence taking place. And, you know, here we have a young man clearly had some mental issues that weren't being addressed, as far as we know at this point, took a gun. And, you know, the New York Times is confirming that this was a definite assassination attempt on Congresswoman Giffords. And so we have a member of Congress now that has been targeted and was singled out for murder. Sadly, thankfully, she is alive. We don't know what, how she will fare and what her recovery will look like. And we have a number of other people, including a 9-year-old child, that are dead as a result. What did you think of when you first heard this news?
Well, obviously it's a horror show. It kind of surprises me that this sort of thing doesn't happen more often, though. You have a country that, first and foremost, really doesn't provide proper care to people with mental illness. And, we have them literally thrown out onto the streets back in the 1980s by Ronald Reagan. And today they're still, they just don't get the care that they deserve and that they need. And it's, and I think, first and foremost, if people are looking to blame anyone or anything, that's the main problem here. Obviously, we have a country awash in weaponry, and we also have a government that is widely viewed, I think correctly, as non-responsive to the will of the people. Now, people across the political spectrum feel that way, from the far left and on the far right, and it doesn't take someone who's got mental problems to see good reason to be angry at government. Obviously, nothing justifies what happened on Saturday in Tucson or near Tucson, but it's not surprising, really, that people, that politicians would come under attack. It happens in other countries all the time, and it's not really new here. People forget about that we've had 4 American presidents shot to death. We've had of course, in 1856, a U.S. senator was nearly beaten to death on the floor of the U.S. Senate by another senator. Political violence is, this is a very, very violent country. And so, I don't know, people shouldn't really be surprised, but it is sad.
We're talking with Ted Rawl. His latest book is The Anti-American Manifesto. He's online at rawl.com. Ted, it seems to me there's like 5 main memes here that are sort of coalescing. The efforts to explain and understand this violence are sort of coalescing around 5 memes, and let's discuss these and see if I'm missing anything. The first one seems to be, well, there's just so much angry rhetoric coming from the right. Conservatives are to blame. They talk about the Second Amendment, and Sarah Palin put gun sight targets on this woman's district, and don't retreat, reload. All of this very angry rhetoric that contributes to a climate where people take guns to political rallies and they're just looking for a reason to use them. That's the first. The second would be conservatives say, well, don't blame us. We are not to blame here. This has nothing to do with political rhetoric. Nothing has changed. Political rhetoric has always been charged. The third would be that crazy people kill people, and that, this guy wasn't getting help. He was just crazy, and there's nothing we can do about that. It's completely unrelated to political rhetoric. The fourth is that the left is just as bad, and this is really the liberals are to blame because they have so much angry rhetoric, and they're really the ones to blame here, and the right is just reacting to that. And the fifth, which is not as strong, but it's certainly out there, and you touched on it. We're seeing that in some places, that this is just a reminder of what a violent society we have, and that we lack gun control, and that this is really the problem here, is the fact that guns are so easily had here and are used in certain situations that can cause tragic violence, and we're going to see that in this country. It's just we have to get used to it.
I think there's truth to really all five of those lines of those memes. You know, I mean, the problem here is that people really are struggling to find meaning in an act that doesn't really have a lot of political meaning. You know, I mean, this is a disturbed young man, as far as we know. He didn't have a coherent political agenda. Some people, you know, people on the right say, look, he read the Communist Manifesto. People on the left say, look, he was anti-abortion. You know, the kid was a mess. And, you know, it's actually kind of amazing, considering the number of guns that are out there, really how little gun violence there really is. And just, you know, for the record, I'm pro Second Amendment. I do believe in the right to bear arms. So I don't think that it's a big surprise. You know, it's just sad. But the takeaway for me, though, is the way that the media is so obsessed over this act. I mean, you know, it's just taken for granted that when a member of the political class is targeted, and in this case brought down along with a federal judge, that this is, you know, we stop the presses, drop what you're doing, this is what we're going to be talking about. But, you know, really, in the greater scheme of things, this is a really minor act of violence compared to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and the sort of systemic violence that we have, that the system carries out all the time. I just wrote a column today that talks about political violence versus violent politics. We've got violent politics. You know, I mean, people are thrown out of their homes because they can't afford to pay their mortgages. And, you know, we think that's perfectly fine. You know, hey, the bank owns your house. You don't own your house. And, you know, nobody helps you. You lose your job. You're out on the street. Some people get unemployment. Most people don't. You know, that's violent. Tell anyone who's gone through that that's not violent. No, it's violent. And so, I mean, you push people around, and you treat them with more stick than carrot. Eventually, people freak out. It's, you know, you're exposing a population to a series of stresses. Most of them try to behave gracefully, but some just can't.
Yeah, and the most wealthy among us have an incredibly powerful socialized safety net where they can reap the benefits of their investments, but if they make bad investments, the public dollars will bail them out, and they will never suffer from bad decisions.
Well, that's right. I mean, we have communism and socialism for the wealthy. They are coddled. You know, they're living under the people's, they're living under the workers' paradise. And as for the rest of us, we're living under gangster capitalism, where, you know, we're all on our own. And the poorer you are, the less assets, the less access to government you have. It ought to be exactly the opposite.
Yeah. We're talking with Ted Rall. The website is rall.com, and Howard is back with us. Howard, thanks for your patience. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call again. I really want to talk about the previous caller, but I wanted to mention something that your guest just said. To say that it's not a political act because the shooter doesn't have a coherent political philosophy, it doesn't make any sense. If he is schizophrenic or mentally ill, which apparently he is, why would you have to say that he would have to have a coherent political philosophy in order for this to be a political act? My brother's schizophrenic. He used to think that I assassinated John Kennedy. Now, there was no evidence, but that didn't mean he didn't believe that. And so I'd like to segue that into your previous caller who kept, and I've heard this all day long, there's no evidence, there's no evidence. Well, you know, you're probably not going to find his bedroom wallpapered with Sarah Palin's map. But President Clinton said several months ago, I believe, that people should watch the things that they say because their words fall upon the ears of the healthy and the disturbed as well. And so the refusal by your previous caller to even acknowledge that this conversation going on in the country is not at least suspect or at least to be talked about because there's no evidence just doesn't make any sense.
Howard, fantastic call, and I couldn't agree more. I'm sorry to hear about your brother. And I really appreciate the call. I think it's a terrific point, and I thank you for joining the conversation. Ted, your thoughts?
Howard's got a good point. This is obviously a, you know, within the mindset, first of all, in terms of what he said about to me, clearly the there is, it's true that certainly within his mind, this probably was a political act. He didn't attack, you know, a guy who repairs lawnmowers for a living. He attacked a congresswoman. So obviously politics were intimately involved. I also think that it's true that when you just drive across this country and you hear the relentless drumbeat over the course of years, literally decades, hour after hour, day after day, of hate speech on radio that, you know, mischaracterizes someone like Obama as a socialist, as an example. I wish he were a socialist. That would be great. I could support him. I don't have a. I like inflammatory. And I'm a big fan of it. In fact, I produce it, but yeah. It's my living. I'm a political cartoonist. But when you lie, that's just different. And there's a lot of lying, and there's a lot of ratcheted up hatred. You would think that there was a lot more at stake in the battle between the Democrats and the Republicans than there really is.
We're talking with Ted Rall, and the phone lines are open. Your thoughts about the tragedy in Arizona, 977-1070. And I guess the question we're exploring is the political rhetoric in the country today, does it have anything to do with it? And I think, just to go back to Howard's point to underscore it, I think it does. And I think it's sort of, I think we're naive to think that it doesn't have anything to do with it, because the hate speech and this constant drumbeat of grab your guns and load up and it's time for a revolution and you've got Glenn Beck talking about killing people, and I'll play that clip for you if you want, but it does fall on the ears of the healthy who laugh at it and say, oh, this is such a sideshow. This is so ridiculous. I can't believe this. But it also falls on the ears of people who take it seriously, whether they are sick or just stupid. And so that creates, I think, an environment where, as Ted, as you say, we for whatever reason, we shouldn't be surprised when things like this happen.
Yeah, well, it's disturbing, obviously. And like I said, it's kind of like the way I look at this sort of thing, the way I look at driving. You drive around and people really drive very badly. It's kind of shocking that there's not more accidents. it's like you'd think you'd find them all the time. It's kind of a miracle. And it's kind of, when you have a country that raises kids in an atmosphere of bullying and all sorts of epic violence, and they learn very early on that they're on their own and that they have to fight to survive. And if they're not strong, they're gonna die. And you take kids who are 18 years old and you send them to wars and so on and so on and so on. It's actually kind of amazing that Americans are as sane and peaceful as they really are.
Yeah. So Ted, where do you think from here? I mean, is this just going to be a blip on the as a footnote in a timeline of political violence in America, or you think anything will come of this?
Well, it's impossible to say, and anyone who says otherwise is just lying. I mean, we're in a situation that's kind of like 9/12. Although it's not that serious, but you just don't see, you can't see what it means until later. We're only going to know with the benefit of hindsight. We look back on it, and this could be, this was just a blip, or hey, this was the beginning of something. Who knows?
Yeah.
So we'll just have to wait and see.
The Tea Party folks in Arizona have said that there's no way that this gives them any reason to tone down their violent rhetoric, or I guess they wouldn't characterize it as violent rhetoric. I do, but is there reason for politicians to tone it down a bit? We've got no indication that they're going to, but should they be encouraged to?
Well, I mean, people can be encouraged to do anything they want. Personally, I'm a, I think free speech is paramount. I think people should be able, if we start saying that people shouldn't engage in violent rhetoric, well, that's going to put an end to Hollywood. A lot of people in L.A. are going to lose their jobs. There's going to be, I think, if I were a politician today, I would be ratcheting it down. And I just think it's like really honestly politically dishonest for Democrats and Republicans, essentially, and the Tea Partiers are really just conservative Republicans, to be pretending like the future of the nation is at stake based on the issues that they're talking about. This stuff isn't really; these aren't the big issues. These aren't about entirely remaking society. And really, America is not about to become socialistic. And really, people need to calm down.
Let's go to Chris in Stony Point. Chris, thank you for the call. You're on with Ted Rall. You go right ahead.
Thank you, Coy. How you doing, Ted?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I disagree with most of what you're saying, but I'm going to just try to state my piece. It's very upsetting what happened, very saddening. I want to get angry, but I think it's better to just feel how sad it is that, for one, that these people were shot. Two, that this poor gentleman did not have the possibility of getting the proper mental care. That, I think, is an indictment to our psychologists and our psychiatrists in our country, and the way that they have a tendency to drug people. Maybe he was so far gone they need to be drugged. But some people just need this stuff to be talked out over years and just have it worked out. And I think our mental health system is abandoning that and has abandoned that and just wants to put people on meds. I think it's a big mistake. Also, real quick, I do believe that there is an agenda in this country that I disagree with, and that people, basically I think it comes out of the 60s, and there's a revolt going on now in this country against the general mindset of the 60s, to turn our backs on the establishment, to turn our backs on our traditions, to turn our backs on all the 150 years of greatness that this country brought to the world. And people are revolting against it after 40 years, and I'm part of that, and I'm proud of it, and I'm not going to get violent. I'm going to love my neighbor, and I'm going to keep talking about Christ, because that's where it came from. Thank you.
Chris, thank you so much. Ted, your thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, I think the most important thing that the caller said is that we do need the permission to not just immediately get angry. Being sad is something that somehow doesn't seem to be okay in our culture. I mean, remember back to 9/11. For a few hours there, we were all just shocked and sad. And I felt like that was a really valuable time for us as a country. And then the political hierarchy hijacked those feelings and took advantage of them and exploited them and ginned up a cup two completely stupid and needless wars as a result. And they started and they really hijacked the entire country. And worse than that, they really stole our ability to just be sad and enjoy, kind of not enjoy it, but like feel that. I mean, anger should not be the default mode and the default reaction to everything bad that happens. There's maybe nothing to be angry about here. And I also think the caller's right that we need to really focus on providing better mental health care for most Americans who are not getting it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Margot is in Crozet. Margot, thank you for the call. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. Two quick things. First of all, I think the college that had rejected him because of psychological problems, you would think that maybe they would have, gone further with it. I mean, the fellow had certainly lots of red flags that were very evident. And secondly, I think that the reason why they're not mentioning so much about, that the guy's crazy or whatever, is because, well, the same thing with the fellow that shot President Reagan, is because legally they don't want to classify him as that because of future, what would you call it, legal. The legal system, playing out.
Yeah. Margot, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Ted, final thoughts, your thoughts here again about the, you're okay with inflammatory rhetoric then?
Well, we have to be. I mean, if the First Amendment means anything, people have to be able to say whatever they want. I mean, look, Jodie Foster didn't shoot Ronald Reagan. John Hinckley did. And Jodie Foster's film didn't have anything to do with it. So it's, once you go down a really dangerous road when you start trying to point at, say, Sarah Palin's website, which, as far as we know, this guy never saw, and say, well, he heard violent rhetoric, and therefore he became violent. It's entirely possible for the Dalai Lama to lose his mind and go on a shooting spree. That can happen to anyone. The real question we have is, look, what as a society can we do in order to take care of each other? In a family, if someone that you know starts to act strange, you try to get them help. Well, we're 300 million strong. We should be a big family, and we should be looking out for each other. The government's not doing that for us, and certainly, as a people, we're not demanding it, but we ought to be.
Ted Rall is one of the nation's most hard-hitting political cartoonist and columnist. His latest book is The Anti-American Manifesto. His website is rall.com, R-A-L-L. Ted, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Corey. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.